Lord, tonight we ask. I want to thank the Lord again tonight for granting us a fresh opportunity to come into His presence. Having gathered in the morning to look at the Word of God, I am trusting the Lord tonight that He will yet speak to us. He will speak to us in accents still and clear. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We're looking at Daniel chapter 3 in the morning. And we have traveled a little bit. We have come to verse 12. Am I correct? We pause on verse 12 in the morning. And that's where we rounded off. That was where we were talking about standing out for Jesus. That it was not that they did not bow to the image which Nebuchadnezzar cast. The truth is that even the gods of Nebuchadnezzar, they have not been serving. That they have been doing secretly. But now it was time for them to go public to show to Nebuchadnezzar the stuff they were made of. And that the presence of Nebuchadnezzar will not intimidate them to do what ordinarily they would not have loved to do. And you know, many times we are influenced by people around us. We are influenced by our friends. We are influenced by our relations. Sometimes we are also influenced by the brethren. Because the brethren will not understand why we are taking a position. And because of the fear of what the brethren will think or say about us, we compromise godly standards. We lower our guards and then we disgrace the Almighty publicly. And you know, each time a man disgraces him publicly, he will not acknowledge that man in the presence of the Father and in the presence of his holy angels. So we saw these three Hebrew men. They were children, of course. We saw them. They were fresh graduates. They came in as slaves, but now they have secured a job. I didn't know whether they went for NYC or not, but they've got a good job. They were on the payroll of the king. And such people would not want to die very quickly. And yet, they dared the king. They dared to be different. They dared to show the kind of person they were. And they were not afraid of the faces of the king and of the faces of the accusers. They stood tall because they believed God. And I keep telling myself, anything that is worth living for is worth dying for. If there is something that is not worth dying for, then it's not worth living for. So if I can't die for what I'm doing, then I shouldn't do it in the first place. It doesn't worth it. It doesn't worth it. If being a Christian to you is not worth dying for, I ask you to walk away. Just take your leave. Because there is no point being a Christian if you can't die for it. Anything that is not worth dying for, it's not worth living for. And I mean anything. 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 Once I wait and I check, can I die for this? If the answer is no, then I throw it away. Then there is no point chasing after it. There's no point investing my precious life in such things. And tonight, I trust the Lord to again challenge our hearts, firm our hearts up, so that we can stand for Jesus in our generation, especially in this nation, Nigeria, where godliness is very, very scarce. We have Christians, we have people with stickers on their cars, stickers on their bikes, stickers on the door to their homes, but godliness is still very, very scarce. Extremely scarce. And I know God will be glad if he will find an individual or group of people that we want to stand out for him and acknowledge him and confess him in the midst of a perverse people. God will be glad to find such people. So I would like to read from verse 13. We are on the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. I'm going to read from verse 13 and we'll read on. You know, the chapter contains about 30 verses. I don't know if we'll be able to travel through, but I feel we should conclude this part. You know, I told you in the morning we'll be looking at how to walk out of the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury. Now, each time I read this passage, I get confused. What is rage? What is fury? Even though I may not start to ask you questions tonight now. But when rage and fury are combined together in a single person, then we have madness. Navdak numbered. This man, this king, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach? Is it true, O Meshach? Is it true, O Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? You know, there is a way very conflicting situation speaks that introduces fear into the hearts of their victims. So many ways. You know, I remember there was a particular year. We were to go to Zaria to preach. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. The signals were not right. The signals were not right. I called one of the brothers that were to go with me. I went to meet him at home. I said, bro, is the Lord saying anything about this journey? He said, my brother, I don't know. The signals are not just right. It's all right. Let's keep praying. And then suddenly my mom called me. She was alive then. And she said, this is your journey to Zaria. I saw there was a trouble about it. God showed me something. And I respect her a lot because she really talks like that. She really opened up and said, God said something. I respect her. Once you say something like that, I know something, there's a trouble. So even if I didn't want to be afraid, now I have a reason to be afraid. Because my mom has spoken. And you know, precious mother, I'm the only child. (Laughs) So I went to meet my brother, one of those that were traveling together. I said, bro, we need to find a place to pray. The signals are not right. My mom said this, said, I also see it that way. So we went somewhere. We sat together and were praying. And already, it was just tomorrow. We had to travel tomorrow. And it's not a small meeting. It's a big meeting. I'm sure a lot of preparations, a lot of announcements must have gone into it. We finished praying. And that brother looked at me. He said, my brother, we are soldiers. And we cannot be terrified. We cannot be terrorized. Whatever it is, we are going on this journey tomorrow. And we took off. Of course, it was to be terrible too, because it was God that saved us from the hands of armed robbers. It would have been fatal. But God delivered us. In 2009 alone, I was attacked by armed robbers in the course of my preaching. The first one, they took the car away, we got it back. That was January 19. You know, the devil knows how to arrange things. January 19, 2009, had an attack, armed robbers. Then December 20, 2009, another one. January 23, 2010, the car was crashed. When I was coming home, questions were coming into my heart. Chief among the questions is about my wife. Will this woman release me to go again if I tell her I'm traveling? There is a way the enemy speaks, and fear will grip your heart. Even if you have made up your mind to travel all the way with Jesus, there is a way the enemy speaks, and you will reconsider your stand. Nebuchadnezzar introduced that pattern. Oh, Shadrach, and you know, his eyes were red. He was not smiling. He was screaming and yelling at them. And he was vibrating. And you know, when a king like that speaks, executioners, they stand by. Because a king of that status does not speak like that for nothing. When he speaks in rage, when he speaks in fury, they know what follows. Do you remember that as soon as Ahasuerus spoke in anger to Haman, they didn't wait for the king to pronounce judgment. They just covered his head. They knew that what will follow next is execution. Kings of those days, they were not this kind of king that would go and collect envelope from politicians. They were respected everywhere. They are death themselves. So, verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I've made well. Do you understand that? If you are ready to do what I ask you to do, what happens? It shall be well with you. Negotiation. I said, well, you have not paid your school fees, and your school fees is just 15,000. On this table is 100,000, and it is yours for the taking. all I've asked for all these years is that we should go to bed together. If you are willing to dance to my tune, it shall be well with you. You will have 100,000 naira in your kitty. If you are ready, once you hear the music, to bow down before the image which I cast and worship and accept that image as your God publicly here, it shall be well with you. In fact, I can give you double promotion here. See the Bible? But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? There is a way the enemy speaks. See the way he was talking. I know there was power in his hand. The power to do and undo. And nobody was in doubt of that. I'm too sure that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not be in doubt of that. Because actually, if their God were alive, he shouldn't have opened his eyes and watched them defeated and watched them brought into captivity. So, do they have a proof of their God? There is a way the enemy speaks, and then we accept defeat. He said, well, where was God when your landlord ejected you? Now you are saying you don't want to take bribe. Where was God when you reach the age of 35, 38, and there is no man to marry you? Now I say I want to marry you, say, because I have one wife at home. If God were to be there, he should have waited for you to be 38. Now I want to help you. Are talking about God? Which God? He said, you know, want to marry a polygamist. Go and marry a monogamist. If you don't want to marry a polygamist, now help me. I say, make I come help you. Where was your God when you were 25 and all your mates were getting married? Their children are calling you auntie, when they should call you mommy. You are still talking about God. I think you have forgotten about this stupid thing called God. There is a way an enemy speaks, and we want to change your mind. There is a way situation defies God. There is a way situation reproaches God, and you will think God is not there. Because evidently, you can't point at anything that God has done in your life. But look at these brothers. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. These are the words of men who have reached the final bus stop, and they have nowhere else to go. They have reached the terminus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Can I hear that in other translation? That verse 16. What is Living Bible, ma? Alright, let me hear the way Living Bible put it, ma. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, own Nebuchadnezzar. We are not worried about what will happen to us. What does the enemy uses to harass us is the consequence of our action. He said, you will suffer. Nobody will marry you. We say, make you come drink concussion so that you can get belly. You say, nah, God go do it. Where God day when your marriage reach 5 years and nothing happened? In fact, do you know that if somebody comes to this world and he doesn't have a child, he has not come here at all. He's like a snake passing through a rock. Harassment. In my own child, they will say, only the person where in Pekin bury him. Now he ain't born Pekin. If your Pekin no fee bury you, it means you are a barren person. We are always afraid of the consequence. What will happen to us? What will people say about us? What will our friends say about us? What will the brethren say about us? All such worries. If there is anybody here in this meeting tonight and you have been trusting the Lord for the fruit of the womb for years, this night the Lord will answer your cries. Amen. We'll do it. I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. I have gone through it for 7 solid years before God answered us. I understand. Our first child is it 14 or 15 years old now? And our marriage is 23 years old. So you know that we waited small. We waited small. But God did it. The same God that answered us and blessed us with both male and female will also answer you. Amen. He will wipe off your tears. Amen. But you need to stand for Jesus. You are introduced to several things. That's a question I kept asking myself. If we take this thing and we have a child, will I be bold to come before the congregation and announce that God did it? That was what kept me away. The doctor said, sorry, from what I'm seeing here, you can't have children. There is a way the devil speaks, and you will reconsider your stand. I told my wife, that's what the doctor said. That's not what God said. That's the doctor's report, but not God's report. I will choose to believe the report of the Lord. Even Sarah that entered into menopause. It was menopause and not menostop. She had children. God can do it. You know, when we had the first child, and it was difficult to have the second one, we went to a gynecologist, another one this time around. We've developed relationship with him around that time. When he saw the medical report, he asked my wife to go and do a test. She did. She brought the result. He looked at me, looked at my wife, and looked at our daughter. He said, if I don't know you to be a Christian, I would have said, this is not your child. How did you give birth to this one? God is unlimited. I want you tonight to know whatever fire the enemy has made around your life, you will walk out of it tonight. No matter how hot it might be. No matter how hot such fire might be, tonight you will walk out of it. See the word of God. Look, we are reading, you read Living Bible for me. Alright, do I have any other translation that brings it out in another color? That verse 16. Yes, brother. They replied the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. Thank you very much. There is no need for self-defense. There is no need for us to start speaking in tongues here now. We are not defending anything. We are not worried about what will happen to us. If we are worried about that, then you have a point to score here. But forget it. We have zeroed our mind. We are no longer perturbed by what is going to happen to us, and we are not going to defend ourselves. There is nothing to protect. We are as well open to the fire as you want to throw us there. We're not defending our names. We're not defending our property. We're not defending the position you gave to us. That's not our interest. We're not defending relationship we have kept over the years. You know, it's a privilege for you to have access to the president of Nigeria. That you can go to him anytime you want. As rulers over all the provinces, they had unfettered liberty, unfettered access unto the king. We are not going to defend that. He said, well, if you can't follow me to join this thing and do this ritual, it means we cannot be friends together. And forget about contract from my table. And you know, when you have something to defend, you will compromise. Because you still want to collect contract. Because you still want to be the friend of the commissioner. Let him take his contract away. If a door is not shut, another one will not open. In my little sojourn here on earth, I have seen God at different times arising with helps when somebody removes his hand and say, you will suffer. I want to say to you tonight, whereas some of us could be here that we're in a very serious dilemma because we chose to go with Jesus, and what should have been our legitimate rights and benefits have been withdrawn from us. I'd like to speak to you tonight, even though that man withdrew what he thought you need from you, from him, this week, the Lord will open a fresh door for you. It's going to be a door that God opens so that no man will be able to close it. You see the trouble Nebuchadnezzar threatening them because he was the one that promoted them. Harassing them. So if you are ready, then you retain your position. It will be well. But if you are not ready, I say to you that today is the last day for you. You will be born inside this fire. And he was not smiling. He was speaking with rage and with fury. The man was livid with anger. He was raking. He was barking. He was roaring. Nobody could look straight into his eyes. They were red because of rage and fury. Royal rage and royal fury. But he has never seen the anger of God once. Do I have another translation before I move? Conspicuously different. Yes, my sister, easy to read. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They answered the king. Nebuchadnezzar. We don't need to explain these things to you. We owe you no explanation. You know, sometimes when you explain to people why you are not doing what you are doing, they may see reason with you and then they may sympathize with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego seem to be saying, we don't want to curry your sympathy. We don't want an understanding from the palace. We don't want you to be lenient with us by explanation. We are not going to take the service of a lawyer to come and defend us and explain to you, guilty or not guilty, not guilty with explanation. No explanation. We are not afraid of your decision. Many times, we develop cold feet because we just must explain to people. Explain to people. I feel I should tell you that your explanation will simply make them to mock you more. All the explanation Lot gave to the people of Sodom as touching why they must not commit homosexuality with the guests under his roof fell on deaf ear. In fact, they threatened that they were going to rape him and deal with him worse than what they wanted to do with his visitors. Even though he called them brethren, that didn't make them to change their minds. Even though he said he will offer them his two daughters who are virgin, that will not make them to change their minds. Wicked men remains ever wicked. There is no point negotiating with wickedness. There is no point. That's what our song said to us. Don't speak peace to them. Just break their camp. There is no point signing a peace pact with a wicked man. No. You don't need his support. Whatever he has to offer, you could as well keep it. And let God arise on your behalf. I'd like to move from there so that we can save little more time and cover more ground. We are not careful to answer D in this matter. Verse 17, hear the Bible. If it be so, excuse me, what is the meaning of it, if it be so? Eh? if it is true, even though, if it be so, our God, whom we serve. So, can I ask you a question? If God is your God, what should you do to him? Is to serve him. Because God does not, permit me, God does not understand that you have accepted him as your God when you don't render services unto him. What gave these men boldness was they were servants of God. They were serving God. And I hope you know that it is not only on this pulpit that a man can serve God. Are you a teacher in a nursery and primary school? I wish you will use your teaching profession to serve God. And understand that God has brought those children into your hands. One, you must train them academically. Number two, you must show them Jesus. Whatever profession that we have or we belong to, God has given that profession unto us as a platform for service and not just a platform to make money. Your business is to serve God. You're selling spare parts. How wonderful it will be not to sell fake spare parts that will cause accident for people and kill them before they meet Jesus. Do you have a shop where you are selling drugs? A chemist, you call it, or a pharmacy? How beautiful it will be for you to understand that you are a servant of God and that shop is to serve God. And in your shop, you say, I don't sell fake drugs here. Excuse me, please. Because I'm a servant of God. I want to keep men alive so that those who have not known Jesus can meet Jesus and they will not die before their time. And those who have known him will be kept alive to serve him more with their life. So I don't sell fake drugs. Not because of NAFDAC, but because I'm a servant of God. This shop is open to serve God and to serve humanity. But you know, many times we see our business as a platform to make money. No. No. I've never found it in the Bible so. No. As a driver, you are a servant of God. As a medical doctor, you are a servant of God. As a carpenter, you are a servant of God. As a market woman, you are a servant of God. As a businessman, you are a servant of God. In fact, as a student, you are serving God. And me too, as a preacher, I'm also serving God. Using this platform to serve God. Many times I wish I'm a businessman. Not because I'm looking for money. So that I can live the same life I'm living now, even as a businessman. So that people will understand that it is not because I'm in ministry that I'm living the way I'm living. No, it's not ministry. I am first and foremost a Christian before I am a minister. Ministries is something that one are by the way now. The first one is I'm a child of God, living to please him, living to serve him. The God whom we serve, and they could say it, God in heaven could bear them witness. So I ask you, who are you serving? The devil, or yourself? Who are you serving? The skill that God has given to you, what do you use it for? What do you use it for? Let me move a little bit. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. The way these people are talking, do you think they were afraid? They weren't. I told you darkness could be very bogus and very, very intimidating. But he's a coward. He needs somebody to look straight into his eyes and say, you're a liar. And he becomes deflated. Nobody had ever talked like that to Nebuchadnezzar. Nobody had ever challenged his authority. He is the last man to speak. Nobody speaks after Nebuchadnezzar. They said, your majesty, you need to take a reply of what you have said. For your information, we are not afraid about what will happen to us. But let us assure you that if it is so, if your threat is true, if you are saying that if we don't bow, we will burn inside this fire. First, we would like to tell you that our God is not small. Our God is not a mean God. Our God is not such a God that we cannot make boast of. Our God is not a ring that we keep in the pocket. Our God is not an immobilized stone that we have to go and pour oil on top of his head. Our God is not a charm belt. Our God is not a spirit that you start to invoke. Our God is not such a God that we cannot advertise publicly. Can we tell you, O King, and we are not careful about it, we are not afraid that this is a strange land. You might have defeated Israel. You have never defeated our God. Our God whom we serve, can I tell you, O King, is able to deliver us from this fire, and he has ability to deliver us from your hand. We want to announce that. The fact that we are going to die today does not mean we are not going to advertise our God. And you know, many times we are afraid to speak about the God we serve. Especially when you have oppositions. Especially when the Muslims are around. You are afraid. Or these idol worshippers, we are afraid to open our mouth and speak about what our God can do. And again, we are afraid because we may say God can do it and he may not do it. And then it becomes a disgrace. Hear this, man. Can you read the next verse for me in King James? But if not, is it and if not or but if not? The word but is a change of gear. Am I correct? Is a change of direction altogether. But if not,
I said, you should drink this concoction.
Make you get belly. Said, my God that I serve is able to give me children. In fact, children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty, so are the children of the youth. My God, whom I serve, is able to give me children. But if he decide not to give me, I won't drink this thing. Many times because we are afraid of being disgraced. If you say God will do them, and he no do them. So wait till you go talk now. You will just disgrace yourself. Your child is sick. I will say, we carry this boy to the hospital. We say, you go pray. If you pray, and the headache no come out, you will disgrace yourself here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God is able to heal this boy of headache. But if not, we are still not changing our mind. Final bus stop. This is a faith that will walk through and walk out of fire. This is a heart that when God sees it, he doesn't allow the fire that the enemies are making to have power over your life. Can you finish that verse for me, ma? But if not, be it known unto you, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Is it possible for us to come to this kind of conclusion tonight? I said, there is something, if you bury it inside your shop, customers will be coming. In fact, you go tie yourself. And then you say, our God, the God that I serve, when Jesus was here on earth, he would never announce where he was going to have his next meeting. And yet, crowd we gather around him. So I know that the same power that make crowd to gather around Jesus is able to bring customers here. But if not, if he chooses not to bring customers here, I will not bury anything inside this shop. The resoluteness of the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Comfortably resolute. They were not panicking. They were not jittery. They were not fidgeting. They had made up their mind. Head or tail, we win. Let us see what their God did for them. Look at the Bible. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. I don't know how to picture this man now. Of course, I've read in the Bible when the visage of Jesus changed as he was praying on the Mount of Transfiguration. This man also, his visage changed as a result of anger. Do something for me when next you are angry. Go and stand before a mirror and see how ugly you are. When next you are angry, ask somebody to take your photograph, so that he may show it to you when you become normal. And see how you look like an animal. Am I speaking to somebody here tonight? All right. Bible says madness rests in the bosom. May anger rest in the bosom of a madman. So don't follow an angry man. When I see a man who gets angry every time I run away, he's an enemy of my soul. I know in Igbo land we savvy vex more. Eh? We savvy vex more. God must do something to that in this meeting. Amen. He must do something. There is no godly character in anger. I know the scripture you will quote to. So the Bible says, be angry and sin not. You have not read that Bible very well. You have not read it very well. Have you read the place where the Bible says the anger of a man does not work the righteousness of God? Have you read that also? All right. When an elder wants to speak, when he knows that, an elderly person knows that a child is difficult to convince not to do something, there is a way an elder speaks, and that child will be confused. It's raining and the weather is very cold. And this boy said, I want to go and bath. The elder does not want this boy to bath, but he knows no explanation. We convince this boy otherwise. All right, go and bath. But water must not touch your head, must not touch your hand, must not touch your leg, must not touch anywhere, but go and bath. What has he said? Eh? Don't bath. Because there is no way you'll be angry and you will not sin. He said, I permit you to be angry, but don't sin. Then you should ask, Lord, teach me how to be angry and I will not sin. And we say, there is no way for you to be angry and you will not see. Then you should have known that he is saying to you, don't be angry. Straightforward. I know God does not speak big grammar. He doesn't. He speaks small, small English, or simple, simple English. Look at the Bible. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was the same man who promoted them. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the cooler. Eh? Into prosperity. Into promotion. Where? A burning, fiery furnace. It's not an oven that will just fry you small, small. He had commanded that they should heat it up 7 more times. Let them see the flames. Let them feel the heat. Pour more petrol. And the flame was aggressive. And he commanded the most mighty men in his army, tie them. I'm not going to ask them to walk into the fire. We are throwing them into the fire. And when the king commands like that, what do you think they go take? Tie these people safe. Eh? Then go tie them the way outside would they tie kola knot when they are in. Or when they tie dead body. You see the way that they tie dead body? They tied them.
Tie them.
And they tie them. Look at the Bible. These men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments. You know, I'm sure you know what the Bible calls hats. There is a turban. You know the way they used to dress. They have a garment, then they have another one on top, then they have turban around, and sometimes they have gadu. All of these now fuel that we make the fire to do what? To burn more. If not t-shirt and they wear now, it will have been simpler. They are having about three garments and a turban on their head. That which will catch fire very quickly. Listen to the word of God as we start to round off. Therefore, I'm on verse 22. Because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no heart, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to close in a moment, but I'd like to just say some few things before we close tonight. The soldiers, the mighty soldiers, can you imagine for me how many of them do you think will have carried these three men? At least six. Since they were mighty men, let's agree that two should carry one person. The flame, the heat, the radiation that was coming from the furnace did not spare any of these mighty men. They fell down dead. So, won't you think this man will not even touch ground before they will become ashes because of the hotness? The Bible says it was exceeding hot. This is not fire that burns small. That will be burning something small. It consumes in a jiffy. Once, and these three men landed in the furnace. Now, you see, the language Nebuchadnezzar used touched me. He said, I see four men loose, not loosed. It would have implied something different if they were loosed. Then it will mean that they were untied. But he said, I saw them loose. In other words, it was as though we never tied them. I wonder what happened to the rope with which they were tied. That fire was very intelligent. As they were being thrown into the fire knew what to burn. It burns the chains around them without touching their cloth. Tonight, the fire that Nebuchadnezzar made to consume you will set you free. Do you understand that at all? That same trap, that same plan which the enemy had made for you will become your promotion. God has done it before. He will do it again. Haman came very early in the morning to see the king. He had come to secure approval from the king to kill Mordecai. As he entered into the court of the palace, the king said, check for me, who is that in the court? They said, it's Haman, sir. And Haman came to secure approval to kill Mordecai that day. And the king said, ask him to see me immediately. And he came. He had not told his mission to the king. The king said, I am thinking in my heart, what do you think I should do for somebody that my heart delights in? The man who came to secure the death of Mordecai, of his enemy, he said, ah, the man you want to, you are happy about, ah, you know what you go do? Make him to wear your cloth, your royal cloth. Make him to wear your royal crown. Put him on your chariot and make the greatest of all your chiefs to go before him and be shouting, this is the man the king wants to honor. And the king said, everything you have said, go and do it to your enemy. The man he came to secure his death. So you can imagine how Haman would be feeling when he was dressing Mordecai. Stand to your feet tonight. The same person who said you will die as a slave will serve you. Have I spoken at all?
Yes.
I want to hear this as we pray. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning, fiery furnace. I wonder how he was able to come near. It means that fire had burned for a very long time. That now it has simmered down. That he himself could move closer. He waited to see when these men would drop dead inside the fire. But they kept having fellowship with Jesus. They were just singing. When the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching. They were just marching round and round and round in the fire. They were just enjoying themselves. They felt no heat. They were not in a hurry to come out of the fire because heaven relocated headquarters into that fire. When God sees a man that stands for him anywhere, he pitches his tent with him. Hear the Bible. This is beautiful. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Now he agreed that they serve God. Your enemies will acknowledge that you are serving a living God. Those who have written you off, who believe you will never amount to anything in life, all of them, like one person, they will agree that you are serving a living God. Amen. Because the Lord will turn your situations around. Amen. Hear this, Bible. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. They were examined. They examined first their bodies. The fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. You know, sometimes when you move too close to a flame, the air on your body will get burnt. Not even one was singed. Neither were their coats changed. Even when iron is too hot, when you are using it to iron your dress, does it change the color for you? It does. But flames here did not even change the color of their clothes. The Bible says, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They came out smelling fresh, as though they were coming from the dry cleaner's office. And when you come out of here, you will come out fresh. People will acknowledge that something has changed in your life. Finally, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in who? In him. That's our promise tonight. And have changed the king's word. Every year, every day, every month that Nebuchadnezzar spent on the throne, nobody had ever reversed his word. But that day, those three Hebrews children, they changed his word. Every decree that the enemy has decreed over your life tonight shall be changed. They said, once we tie this thing and we nail it to a tree, that's how that man was stagnant for life. Even if it be so, a storm will pass through that tree tonight. Amen. And crash that tree. Amen. Who speaks and will come to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Who is such a man that is speaking over your life as though he is your maker? Tonight, every negative word spoken to affect you negatively is reversed. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. I'd like you to speak to God tonight. Three prayers we are going to pray. I banish fear out of my heart. I have nothing to do with fear. All the threatings here and there, all the harassment of the enemy to introduce fear into my heart so that I will not trust God again. I chase you out of my heart in the name of Jesus. Can I hear you pray right now? Fear is the instrument that the enemy uses to enslave his victims. He uses fear to tie them down.
He uses fear so that they will not trust God. He knows that once you can't trust God, then you're on your own. God will trust you out of his hand. Fear, you have no space in my heart. All the intimidating agents of the enemy, you have no space in my heart. I cast you out in the name of Jesus.
They're saying, well, if you must get married, you know, you must be pregnant first too, because we don't know, many people will get married like that and they will not be able to get pregnant, so you have to get pregnant before your wedding. No! Don't allow them to sow fear into your heart. You will be pregnant after your wedding, and you will have beautiful children to show for it. Fear eats up faith. Chase fear out. A coward dies several times before his death. Command fear to leave. Jesus is always saying, why are you fearful? O ye of little faith. Why will you be afraid? Banish fear out of your heart. Fear is supposed not to be there. What should be in your heart is faith and not fear. Bring this prayer point to a close. In Jesus' name we have prayed. The second prayer is a prayer of commitment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they reached their final bus stop. They were not looking for anything anymore. They said, well, if what you are saying is what you want to do, let us tell you categorically that our God is not a small God. And we want to advertise him before you hear. That our God is able to deliver us from this fire and from your hand. But if he changes his mind and he decides not to, we are not going to bow to your idol. So we are not looking for a quick exit. We are not afraid to die. If we know our God, if we can live for our God, then we can die for him. If we can't die for him, then we shouldn't live for him in the first place. So I want to pray a prayer of commitment and say, Lord, I am not going to seek for help elsewhere. I set my face like the flint. I will always look up unto you. I trust you. I know you don't disappoint your people. And if you choose to disappoint me, it is your choice. I won't accuse you of breaching your promise, of betraying my trust. Look, it's a privilege to trust God. It is a privilege to trust my God. In fact, if he disappoints you, you should rejoice that he disappoints you. Because it's a privilege for God even to disappoint you. I am telling you. Look, if a poor man disappoints you, then you can feel bad. But if it is good luck Jonathan who promised you something, he said it was good luck that promised me and he didn't do it, but I know it's only because he's busy. I know he will do it. Because you will not take it as a disappointment. And I'm talking about Jehovah, the maker of the heavens and the earth. He who was and is to come. He, by the blast of his nostrils, the Red Sea parted. The fourth man in the fire. I want you to take a decision for God tonight. And to say, Lord, I have nowhere else to run to. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Finally, Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to deliver his servants who trusted in him and have changed the king's world. And you know where the word of a king is? There is power. But these men changed the king's world. So tonight, what are you going to do to all the negative pronouncement over your life? Eh? All the curses of the family. He said, in this family, nobody reaches the age of 60. And it has been there. The best, the nearest to 50 to 60 is 59. Everybody dies young. He said, well, the first daughter in this family don't stay in her husband's place. And it runs through the family like that. It's a curse that they have been carrying. And nobody struggles against it. He said, and that's what it happened. Every first daughter in this family, no, they stay for husband's place. Now, for him, Baba Sao Yingo, he spend all his years. If he marry you, maybe 1 or 2 months, he will soon come back. We know we have been expecting you. Since you are the first daughter, we've been expecting that you will come back. That's how me also came back to my father's house. No. Those words are going to be changed. Tomorrow? When? Now! And you know, it was very interesting that the spectators that watched the football match between Nebuchadnezzar and God were great men. And you can tell who is going to be the winner tonight. It's going to be Jehovah. So anything you know that is happening in your life against the word of God, you can be sure that it was spoken by somebody. Any event, because nothing happens when it has not been spoken. Everything you see in life was manufactured by words. There is nothing that happens that is not manufactured by words. And if you are going to, I don't know whether there is an English like that, or manufacture it. I don't know whether there is an English like that. What are we going to use? Words. So all the words that have been spoken into the atmosphere, incantations, released into the atmosphere to work against your life, you are going to change them tonight. Yes.